This is the Watch Geek Time Podcast.
Scott with Watch Geek Time, and I got my buddy Tim with Independent in Time, independentintime.com.
Thank you, Scott. It's always good to be here.
Great to have you back.
Yeah.
We're going to get to so much stuff right now, so we're just going to dive right in. We're going to start with some email questions I got over the last week or so. Pierre wanted to know, what are our dream watches? And I think he means what are our, we call them Grail.
Right.
So you go ahead. What's a Grail watch for you?
So I've got three watches that I have.
All right, so we'll do three each.
Perennially on a list, if you will.
Okay.
That I consider my sort of top three watches. Number one is a Lange & Hyne Albert. It's the chronograph. It's a model that I'm intimately familiar with why it was made and who made it originally with Marco. It was a young man called Johannes Janke, who's apprentice with Marco. And in order to get his master watchmaker certificate in the traditional German system of being an apprentice, you have to build a masterpiece watch. And this watch was what he designed and built with Marco, sort of under Marco's.
What defines it as a masterpiece? Sorry to interrupt. What?
I think it's just a high quality watch that is recognized as high quality watchmaking. And this watch
meaning everything is beveled, every screw. Yeah. It follows a Geneva seal sort of approach.
No, this is German watchmaking.
We'll call it a Saxon seal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's high quality watchmaking.
Single back bridge, kind of three quarters bridge.
There is, but this is a chronograph. So they built a chronograph mechanism on top of a three quarter bridge.
Okay.
And it's, if you look at some of the old pocket watches from 100 years ago and from the region, you can see where they took inspiration. And it's a mono pusher chronograph.
So I'm gonna coaxial. We don't see it now, but there's a picture of it right here. So we'll pretend it's not here right now, folks. But I know it's here because I edited it in.
Right. It's a gorgeous watch, beautiful enamel dial, and Johannes and Marco, they designed this watch. It's gorgeous.
Well, you've always liked his work. I think the day one you found him. So
yeah.
It's
2004.
That's 21 years.
Yeah.
For you math majors.
Yeah. The second watch, and these aren't in specific order, these three, would be the Viani Halter Antica Perpetual. And I've talked about this.
That's the one with the three...
Four sub-discs. Sub-dials.
Like portals.
Yeah. It really is. There's nothing much else to say about it.
No, I know you love that watch.
Yeah.
I know you love this guy.
From the design and from the mechanism, it's just brilliant.
That I'll just say, we won't talk a lot about it till we get some pictures of it, but that new watch is kind of cool.
The
one he put his name on Barron's or whatever.
Yeah.
That iWatch looking thing.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Not my taste, but it's, I like the purity of Viani.
I know you do. Yeah. Number three.
Number three would be Roman Gautier's Logical One. And
Thunder Stealer.
Sorry.
I love it.
those are three. These aren't new watches per se.
In that order, Tim, because usually, or do you just, would...
Oh no, they rotate.
They move. They're all on the same sort of.
Yeah, they're the top three, in not ranked within one, two, and three. They're just as a group.
Okay, so you and I can have a little Venn diagram because you and I, Logical One is definitely
in yours.
Oh, and when we had lunch with Romain in Beverly Hills a couple of years back, the one that he had let me wear, which was like. It had been PVD black or something. I don't know what
DLC black.
DLC. It was DLC. It was a diamond treatment, right?
Yeah.
And it was just
on a titanium.
On a titanium.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I think it killed my appetite. Cause I felt, to our audience, I saw this watch when it was first released, and to see all the different, you know, all the different iterations of it, but this was just,
yeah.
Okay. We've talked about the logical one. And of course there's a picture of it.
Right.
Okay. So number two,
for you,
Jaeger LeCoultre Duometre Platinum White Dial.
Okay.
And it's just the chronograph. It's called the A Chronograph. But
The Duometre
is my second.
Duometre line in Jaeger is fantastic.
It's almost like independent watchmaking. It's like Berthoud.
Yeah.
I'll just say. No deference to Berthoud, but it seems like there's a section of Jaeger LeCoultre where they just act like, you know, we don't care about any of you guys. We're doing this stuff over here.
Yeah.
And the Duometre line strikes me as that. Although they've now released them in steel, which is nice, and it makes it a little more affordable to people. But I don't like moon phases. I don't care unless it's Martin's moon phase. I don't like cartoony moon phases moving in and out of an aperture. But I do. I think this goes back to a conversation you and I had many years ago. I certainly love that Foy Durante hand whip.
Yeah. Around. Yeah.
And I mean, everybody loves, we could say that a Grubel Forzi is their third grail or any number of brands. But for me, I'm pretty simple. Long and Sona. Mm-hmm. I don't even care which Long and Sona. Just that, Long and Sona. But if I really had my druthers, I've always loved, it's called the Munitz Werk. It's got a 31-day power reserve in it.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
And it takes a really gnarly key. I'll put a picture of it here.
Another watch.
Yeah, and I've been in love with it forever. So those are my three.
Wow. No, Lange & Söhne make fantastic watch. For a big marketed brand, I mean, I'm a big fan of their stuff.
You know, and you don't really know it until you know it, but that's another Richemont property, like Panerai or...
Jaeger, Dubuis, IWC.
Jaeger, IWC, Vacheron.
Yeah.
Cartier.
Yeah.
Richemont's done as good a job as Swatch has, as the Hayek group.
Yeah, and they got some great houses. But yeah, Lange & Söhne for me is a superb brand. And the products are consistently fabulous. And above, I think, everybody else from a brand standpoint in terms of, you know, from the simple watches where they have their own movements dedicated to all the way up to incredibly complicated watches. You know, the perpetual calendar, tourbillon, chronographs. I mean,
unparalleled watchmaking. And you notice neither one of us said F.P. Jorn or Kari Voutilainen, but if we had two more spaces on our list, maybe we would have said, I would have said Kari and then Jorn.
But yeah, Kari's up. I mean, Kari's Kari. He's a genius.
But, the best. But
for me, you know, talking about three grail watches, those. You know,
those are the three.
Yeah, yeah, and it hasn't changed for a long time.
I was here. There you go.
Thank you, Pierre, for the question.
David. Let's try to move this part quickly.
Okay.
David was curious, how long does it take to get a watch from Kari Voutilainen and start to finish? So I think he means, okay, Kari's engaged.
Uh-huh.
You or I have made some kind of introduction somehow, or some one of our friends has, or whatever the deal is. And Kari's, okay, he's in the design stage with the guy. And he sent the guy some swatches, let's say. I don't mean plastic watches. I mean, like pictures of dials and
you're presupposing that a quote has been accepted by the client and a deposit has been made.
Correct. And let's just talk about just that part, because people would say, what does that look like? Let's just say that deposit might be as much as 50 grand.
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure.
Okay.
But you know, a watch from Kari, I mean, it depends on the complexity of the watch. You know, his quote unquote entry level watch, which is the Van Wheat, time only, three hander, beautiful watch. I mean, I've waited for those, trying to go back, at least 2 years.
Okay, so let's just say it's a Van Wheat,
yeah,
with a rose engine turn dial.
Yep.
Nothing coming from some studio in Japan anywhere.
Right. So, yeah, at least 2 years.
At least 2 years. So the 50 grand is down.
Mm-hmm.
So day one, 50 grand is down.
Yeah, you got to pay to play.
All right, so
I mean, simple as
is the patron receiving an invoice monthly, or is the other half, let's just say the other half is 50 grand, just for our conversation. Mm-hmm. We don't know the exact numbers because it depends on a couple of items. But the other 50 grand is due in 2 years, or there's invoicing throughout the process of the next 2 years?
No, typically it's you pay the deposit, and then right before the watch is finished and before you take delivery, you pay the balance.
There you go, David. So 24 months.
Maybe. I mean, it could be longer. It's not going to be less.
Could be longer.
Yep.
Not going to be less.
Yeah.
Sometimes a Voutilainen comes up for sale. You never know. It may not be the exact watch you want, but sometimes they come up for sale.
They come up very rarely, though, in the pre-owned market. And typically the guys that own them, you know, if they decide to sell them, they're calling their buddies, and it's private transactions, and it's rarely do you see them in auctions and so forth.
You know why? Because some guy who has a Voutilainen and his buddy has said, listen, whenever you're sick of that.
Right.
So and that's how those move.
Yeah, Nakari's annual production is still tiny compared to the brands.
Was he up to about 60?
Maybe.
So maybe 60 watches, and as many of you have heard me say that have talked to me mano a mano, if he didn't get another order starting tomorrow, he'll be making watches for the next 7 years.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of what's going on there. And every watch doesn't say Swiss made, it says handmade. Every watch is essentially a piece unique. So that's that.
Yeah.
All right, what are you wearing?
Today, well, I went off the reservation today. Today, I'm going to have to get some long distance.
Went off the reservation with a man, so this man is, toy?
Yeah, this is not a, and it's an independent brand for sure. It's actually an American brand.
Oh.
So I'm flying the flag for my adopted country. This is Oak and Oscar.
Oak and where are they out of?
They are based in, I think, Chicago.
Okay.
I've admired them for a while. It's sort of simple, let's say simple, but very sort of classic field watches, chronographs. And this watch is the, let's put it down here, get into the mm-hmm. camera.
Yeah, that's cool.
So this is the...
Here, I'll zoom it in. You don't move it.
This is what's called the Jackson chronograph. And Jackson.
Jackson?
Yeah. See, it says so on the dial.
Is that why you had to have it?
Well, yeah, you know.
Okay.
There's a bit of ego here.
Listen, who am I to argue with a Jackson?
Exactly. So, but it's a blue dial. I love blue dials. The orange touches are great. The second running second. So I've got it running right now. And the reason I have it running is because it's kind of interesting. So this is a, manual wind chronograph, and, Chase is the gentleman, I think, that owns a company. He went to work with Eterna to supply him a movement.
Okay.
And this is a column wheel chronograph. But what's unusual about it is the dial, the sub dial. So the running seconds for the watch is at 9. And the chronograph counters are at 3 o'clock. And as you look right now, there's actually two hands on that chronograph sub counter. And again, I've forgotten my pointer.
It's okay. It's a black one and a white one.
Yeah,
something to point with?
Yeah, there's a black hand. So right now the black hand is pointing to 29 minutes because of the angle.
Here's a chubby thing to point with.
That's right. Okay. So right down here, you've got a black hand, dark gray hand that's pointing to 29, and you've got a white hand below it sitting at 30. And actually, this is good timing because I set the chronograph running a while ago.
Right.
So when this guy here reaches 12, the seconds, what you're going to see is that, I believe, that white hour counter, so each of those marks around there is 12 hours, I believe is going to jump, I think, to half, because that way you could tell. So we're going to...
So it's a 30-minute counter for the black...
For the black hand, and let's see if it does what it's supposed to do. We got it on camera. Nice little date. Oh, and you read underneath my name is flyback. So it's a flyback chronograph.
It's a Jackson flyback.
Yeah. So actually what it means, if you push this reset button while it's running, the second hand, the minute and the hours will all fly back to zero and it will continue running. And that was designed originally for pilots. So that when you were timing distances on flying. You fly from point A to B, B to C. When you hit that point B, instead of having to stop, reset the chronograph, start it again, which is three motions, you'd simply push the reset button on your chronograph and it would start up again.
Cool, man.
So again, here we're going to see that minute, black minute hand. He's going to jump on almost probably on top of the white.
And I love that it jumps. I love that the mechanism.
Yeah.
And let's see the back, because the movement is really, really nice.
This is all machine finished, but it's not, you know, it's nice. And there's a column wheel in there.
I'll get us out a little bit.
So. Yeah. So over here, you've got the column wheel down there.
Yeah.
This is part of the chronograph mechanism. It's one of the wheels. Obviously, here's your balance wheel over here. And this is just the bridge work for the chronograph. Oh, it takes it out of focus.
That's okay.
And then if you come over here, yeah, you can see the column wheel over here. But this is an Eterna movement. Eterna is a tremendous Swiss company that has been around forever. Other watchmakers have used an Eterna automatic movement. Specifically, Stepan Sapeneva used it in his original dive watch, the Vetterhinen. He used an automatic movement.
He did.
From Eterna, yeah.
And a limited run of 150. This is number 83, obviously.
Yeah.
The striping is fantastic, let's just say. They did a nice job.
Yeah, the lighting, yeah, works it. But, yeah, and so they also did a gray dial. So there were two options with this watch, the blue and the gray. I happen to like the blue. This, I came across this as a pre-owned watch in a group that I belong to up in the Bay Area. And it was offered for sale, and I jumped on it because they've been long sold out from the company.
It's so sweet.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wearing today.
It's sweet. All right, so
what do you got?
I've got
you've been keeping that one hidden.
I got a
I did not know
Renaissance
Type 1. Wow.
Titanium.
I did not know you owned that watch.
So as I told you, when it was first when I first got it, it didn't run well. And I was told, take it to New York.
Yep.
Here, we'll put it over here. Get it ready. And
just give it a quick clean.
There you go. And it had some issues. So it went to, I don't know why the smaller guys say, well, don't, I know why they say don't send it back here, because they.
This is titanium, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know why they say don't send it back here, but.
Look at that.
It's good, right? And it is, I've been wearing it, so it's got the time on it, right? I guess the glare is a little bizarre.
That's just the way.
But it was not running right, and you have a weirdo kind of avant-garde watch like this, and you think, okay, maybe it's not supposed to run right, but it was really running bad.
Right.
So usually they'll say, like one of the guys we know, like there's a couple. I've never sent stuff all the way to Austria, for example. I've only sent it to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the same was asked for here, and the guy couldn't get it right. It came back, it was even worse.
Right.
Even worse.
That's not good.
No. So, that said,
sold it back.
It went all the way back to
Belgium.
To Belgium, yeah. And then it came
to Benoit. Yeah.
Went all the way back to Benoit, or Benoit, I mean, yeah. So, here's how you tell time on this thing.
Yeah, let's hold it.
You've got, right now, so the whole disc turns all the way around. Right now it's, the time is 12:15 ish.
Right. So this is your minutes.
That's the minutes tracking all the way around. And that
the hours is a disc that the hour hand rotates around the inside of that disc while the whole thing rotates.
Correct. So the only thing, if you look at the minute hand, it is sort of the focal point moving around the dial, but the whole thing moves. So
correct.
The dial that's the sub dial that's now at about 5:30 is the day of the week. So the pointer's like right mid Saturday, which is about right.
Oh, that's the day of the week. I thought it was a power reserve.
No, it's not.
Okay.
He doesn't care if it runs out of power. That's your fault.
Yeah.
It's he wants you to wear it. Second hand is now at 1 o'clock.
Sure.
And the hour at noon is obviously at the Renaissance logo hand. So it's 12:15.
Yep.
No, and it's keeping really, really good time, you know?
Yeah. So it's a regulator style watch in a way.
Correct.
Yeah. But at the whole disc, right?
It's a single.
So that would be.
That little gizmo there.
Yeah, you pull this and then that lifts up. This whole thing lifts up, right?
correct? Yeah. And you turn it in one direction, it sets the time. You turn it the other direction, it sets the day of the week.
Ah.
So it's, but you have to turn it slowly because it makes this weird kind of cranking sound.
Uh-huh.
And that's when you think, you know, when you get a watch like this and you appreciate the fact that it's a young watchmaker, it's a type one, as you can see. So,
right.
It's that he didn't make a lot of these at the beginning, but they, as you and I were talking about, they were not terribly expensive at the onset.
Right.
You know, and this is an example of a very young independent who's hit it big. Now he's got maybe he's up to type five, I guess, and they're oil filled and they've got all kinds of stuff going on all the way around them. One of them's got a date all the way around the circumference of the watch. So it's super cool stuff he's doing.
Yeah, no, I remember when he came out with this in Baselworld, he was sitting at a little desk and I went by and visited him and I was like, wow, that's something really special.
Here, let's do this. Yeah. Go ahead and put it, hold it up to the light for a sec. Hold it up on the light there. And then what we'll do is we'll see if we can show the lume. We'll turn the light out. Go ahead and turn the light out. See if we can get a little of the lume in there. It's a little hard. Let me turn. I'll turn the big light out. Let's see if we can.
Yeah.
See if we can get a little lume action.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. Sort of see it. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Now, lume's not easy. So he's obviously treating this stuff before. It's very difficult because lume is hard to work with. Yeah, you got it. You had it.
Yeah. That's good. You can see it.
Yeah.
Your camera's picking it up pretty well.
Yeah, it's all right. All right.
Cool.
All right. So that does it for what we got going on today.
Your watch, sir.
Thank you, sir. Oh, one last kind of detail. Well, no. You didn't think it was that big a deal.
But, no.
Okay.
So keep going.
All right, we're going to keep moving.
You keep telling me to keep moving.
Yeah, we're going to keep moving. So today.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Christian Lass.
We are. Yeah. The Danish watchmaker of note.
And who's the other guy?
Raoul Page.
Page.
Yeah. Raoul is, again, another. Both these fellows are brilliant. Brilliant watchmakers, sort of under the radar, if you will.
Okay.
And they've been working their magic for many, many years in Switzerland. I have to say that Christian has recently, you know, I say recently, a couple of years ago, moved back to his native Denmark.
Okay.
With his wife, Hannah. And they started up their workshop there. They bought a building, rehabbed it. I've been there. Fascinating. It was quite an effort to get there, but well worth it. And this is the product.
It's not easy to get there.
No. Trains, planes, automobiles.
Yeah, all right.
But this is the product. This is a 30CP. This is a rose gold version of it that I sold to a good client of mine. And it's a... Yeah.
Sumptuous.
Look at that movement. Beautiful finishing. And this is... They do this. And I say, I've been there to the workshop.
Look at this bridge work.
And Christian, I mean, Christian worked amongst other places. He worked with, I first met him, actually, I don't know if I met him, but he was working at Vianney Halter.
Oh, okay.
And he actually assembled my Vianney Halter Classic.
Okay.
That gets featured up, you know, above, you know, right there, that one.
Let's just make sure everybody knows which.
Yeah, that one right there. That watch, that's my watch. That, so Christian Lass actually helped, you know, he was working at Vianney.
So is that your connection to the guy?
No,
that just, or does that just come as a?
It's a byproduct of
interesting,
you know, the small niche world that I've been in for a while.
Tell us about this movement. What part of it?
So Christian developed this movement. You know, it's in his style. It actually, the wheel train of this watch comes from an A Shield movement that is also shared by Nicolas Delalloy, funnily enough. But the movements are very different in terms of the actual execution. And what you're seeing right there, so this is a free sprung balance wheel. And the bridge that's coming out from, let's say, 2 o'clock has got a spherical jewel. That's a ruby, man-made ruby. And that's, so there's two screws next to it. And that's used to position the opposite end of that bridge. Actually a cock, not a bridge, which is holding the end of the hairspring.
Which would be this guy right here.
No, go further up. Yeah, right there. It's holding it right there. It's pinned right there. See the top?
Right, yeah.
At the top.
But it's not affixed to this ring around?
No. What are you trying to know?
This room right here that's sort of wrapping itself around the awesome.
No, that's below. That's below the.
Ah, gotcha. That's cool.
That's the bridge work below.
All right.
I mean, traditional Geneva stripes. I mean, again, Christian has all these machines. He was able, and he also worked at Patek for a long time in the museum.
Okay.
So he was, he ran the restoration in the museum.
Oh.
Because of his connection with Patek, he was able to access machines that Patek were, let's say, getting rid of at affordable prices. And so when they set up their workshop, I mean, he's got these incredible mills and lathes. And this is the product. So what's interesting is on this watch, you look at the dial, classic three-hander, sub-seconds. That name, that's hand engraved, and Christian's wife Hannah is a master hand engraver, and so she does all the engraving of the dials for them, and then they fill it in with a lacquer afterwards. But that's, you know, that's all hand engraved, and it's exquisite.
It really is. I love the frosty.
Yeah, they make the hands, the dials, the cases. Christian makes the cases in-house. That's really rare. There's very few people that do that. This is a prototype. Actually, I don't know if this is a prototype, but this was a white gold piece. I think this is a serial number one. So this was the first one, the first serially produced piece that he made. This was an early adopter. And I saw this watch in Geneva about a year and a half ago. And so that's the same watch, but in a white gold case.
The snailing on the barrel.
So here we have, this is within their workshop. This is Hannah's desk. You'll see a microscope there, and that's so that, you know, she can make sure that, you know, she knows exactly what she's doing correctly. That's the
hand. I think we have another picture.
Hand engraving. So this is the, I'm not sure what this tool is called, but it's essentially a very heavy metal ball, if you will, that can be rotated around with your hand so that when you're engraving, you can turn the base plate. And that's, you know, there you can see.
She's working on a dial there.
Yeah, that's the dial where the numbers are. So those numbers around the outside are all hand engraved. There's a lot of the tools. Yeah, you can see there's the dial there. And that rotates. And those are all the gravers, they call them, in front with the handles. And this is, you know, I've seen her work in on the dials. It's exquisite. And then she also has her own watch, which I haven't featured here. And then this is, yours truly and Christian.
Well, I guess I'll have to work that into the bumper.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my visit almost a year ago.
Look at these happy guys.
Yeah. Amazing.
He's just happy because from what you're telling me, it's a pain in the ass to get there. So he's just happy to see other humans, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think he's had many visitors. but, you know, again, they've recently finished this workshop. He and Hannah work there, and then they also have an apprentice who's working with them. That nice young man, and he's doing some great work for them.
All right, what are
we? So, that's Christian.
That's cool.
So that watch, just so everybody knows, that watch long sold out. It's exquisite. I wish I could, you know, get more of them.
When's the next round of them?
No, they're done.
So what's his next thing?
No idea.
There you go.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see. It'll be spectacular. And again, oversubscribed, I'm sure.
Sure. All right, who we got?
So up next is Raoul Page. I've known Raoul for a number of years. I first met him in Baselworld. Actually, this photograph is from way back when. This was a watch. Sorry, not a watch. This was a piece of incredible technology, horologically speaking. It's an automaton, meaning it actually moves, and it's got basically a watch movement inside of the powers, this little tortoise around. And if you sit it on a desk, wind it up, set it off, it will actually move around a desk. So you see a big mainspring barrel that's guilloched.
Does it tell time?
No.
So it just uses a watch
movement mechanism
to move itself around. Okay.
Yeah, and because of the gearing mechanism, you know, because you know the beat rate, you can then figure out how to operate the four legs.
Right.
But you know, this is highly finished in the traditional watchmaking sense. What you don't see in this picture is the lid, which is sort of hinged right now on the right hand, top right hand side. You can see the hinge. That's the cover of the tortoise, and it's beautifully enameled blue.
It's too bad we can't see the other side.
But sitting next to it was his very first watch, which was called the Soberly Onyx. And the dial, that black portion, is onyx, which is a gemstone.
I think we have a better picture of it.
Yeah, there it is on my wrist. Sub-second, and again, this was his very first wristwatch, beautifully finished. The movement is, again, an incredibly highly finished movement. And he made 10 of these in white and 10 in rose gold. This is a rose gold version. And there's that movement, beautifully finished, frosted. The anglage is all done by hand.
So you're saying it's his movement?
No, this is not his movement. This was a SEMA base movement.
But he's done something to it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll get to that in a second.
It's a little, I mean, you can just see it.
It doesn't look like any SEMA I've ever seen.
No. And the bridge, the bridges have been changed to his design.
So he basically scavenged a SEMA.
Yeah. Use the wheel train, the anglage is spectacular.
Oh, you know how much I love this frosty.
Yeah,
I call it tremblage, but I guess you and I differ on that terminology.
Yeah,
like somebody trembled as they were doing it.
Well, maybe, but yeah, I don't think that's how this was made. Tremblage to me is a specific type of finish. This is his next watch that I had the enormous pleasure of seeing when I visited him.
Fantastic.
In his workshop. This was again over almost 2 years ago. This is a regulator. And what's spectacular about this watch is the movement. This is his own movement. And it's a spring detent escapement. So it's a chronometer style escapement. Very difficult to do in a wristwatch. There's been very, very few people who've been able to do it and actually have it work properly. You're zooming in on it.
I've got a better shot of it,
but
the movement is fantastic, no less.
The ability for one guy to come up to be able to design this and actually have it work is very rare. Urban Jurgensen did it with the help of Derek Pratt and Kari Vutilainen and Mojan. They serially produced a spring detent, but you couldn't see it. This watch, you can clearly see it, and it's there. And when you see it running, it's spectacular.
And I'll come back to one of these. I just wanted to get to.
So this is his image. Yeah. Zoom out a little bit, because this shows there's the escape wheel in the copper color, classic, the teeth profile, and then the detent which locks on that, which is sprung on the left hand side, and that just it goes tick 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 as opposed to. You know, it's a different sound than your traditional lever escapement, and it was used.
Yeah, it's not tick 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 tick. Yeah,
and it's what's in my marine chronometer. It's what's in your marine chronometer.
So is it a single lever escapement essentially? Because
it's a spring detent. You don't have two teeth. It's
because this is that's where it's getting stopped.
Yeah,
and
because the balance wheel has been taken out for this image. You don't see where it's also releasing. So
okay, I didn't realize the balance will be. There is something missing. You're right. Let's get back to that. Sorry about that, folks.
Technical hitch. Okay, so let's go to the next picture. This is a schematic of it.
Oh, I can see what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's locking on the balance wheel as well as on that halfway down that red arm, which is the spring detent. Yeah, this is high level horology chronometry, and it's typically you'd find that in some pocket watches. That's another
total geekery for our show is what it is. I mean, look at the beautiful finish. Look, everything that look at the beautiful. The barrels are perfect. The spring, the black
polishing.
Yeah, the black polishing is great.
So again, a labor of love from Raoul. I think only 10 of these were made. They've been long since sold out.
Just the beveling of each bridge is superb. Each screw is superb.
Yep, black polished to the nth degree. I mean, this is high.
That's a proto.
Yep, high watchmaking. Yep, that's a prototype piece. So I got to enjoy that. I got video of it. I don't know if we can show. There's actually a schematic.
It's sort of the drawing. Sort of the other side, I guess.
Yeah, and this was a drawing done to show.
Oh, I see. I see. I see. I see.
Yeah. So as the that gray disc, which is attached to the balance wheel, it's going backwards and forwards. It's clicking backwards
and forwards. And this is more of a spring.
Yeah, there's a spring in gold on the left-hand side.
Look at this. And then this is what's breaking the...
That's what's releasing the... Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous. That's a cool picture. Thank you for giving us that.
That was up on the wall. And there's... So then this is his latest watch.
I love that.
God. So again, that was earlier in Geneva. This is...
oh my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Again, similar to the Soberly Onyx, this is a stone dial, solid. It's a white, almost like a white onyx, if you will. Triple, you know, three-hander, beautiful. I love the hour hand on this watch.
Superb.
And this is a watch that he designed that is a traditional, what we might term a traditional Swiss lever escapement as opposed to the spring detent. Much easier to produce these, and this will be his sort of his next watch.
How many does he plan to make?
I don't know of this watch actually. I should know that, but this was a this is a prototype piece I saw in Geneva.
So just because I didn't look at the other ones, is this are these the hands that he typically uses for the watches?
Does no,
the,
these are a new set of hands for this watch. Yeah, he developed those, designed them,
and because I see the other elements are kind of.
They're similar.
The single stripe around the circumference.
Well, he likes that color blue. That's part of his design ethos. And I think there's a picture if you go. Yeah, there's another picture, like same watch.
Oh, the blue takes on a different hue through here.
Yeah. And I think there's the movement. Not a great, the lighting was terrible where I snapped this picture, but you can see the similar
bridge. You can see the polish, though.
Yeah, and you can see the similar, the bridge, that holds the escape wheel. But this is a traditional Swiss lever escape as opposed to spring detent.
And where is he?
He's in Switzerland in a village called Les Brenets. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Very close to the lock, on the almost on the French border. He does exquisite work. Lovely guy. Very, you know, again, sort of soft spoken, low key. Genius watchmaker. He's recently made a collaboration with William Messina. They came out with a watch, a collaborative watch.
Complex or Mantoy?
No, very simple, time only, sort of classic watch. But you know, different level. This is Raoul right here. This is his superb work.
Well, so you can see what the independents are doing. Mm-hmm. This is what we do every week. We're going to bring you more independents next week.
Yep.
Tim. Of Independent in Time, independentintime.com. Give Tim a call. All the numbers will be up here. You see,
happy to talk independent watches. I mean, other watches as well. But clearly my niche world is this.
Anys can get you in. Anything in the watch world that you desire, he'll find it for you. You might have to wait, like we talked about.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there's a couple.
Put the caveat in.
Yeah, there's. We won't mention names. No. Hey, I'm Scott with Watch Geek Time. Tim with Independent in Time.
Thanks, guys, for watching. Great to be here again.
We'll see you next week.
Yep, we will. Cheers.
Bye.